podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Sergio Reguilón having had the break on Wednesday and returned at West Ham last Sunday, I would be extremely confident that he starts against Burnley on Sunday. Does he play twice? How long's a piece of string? A lot can happen between Sunday and Thursday.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're well ahead of tomorrow's double game week 26 deadline. For the benefit of those listening on the audio, my name's James, and you're listening to my regular weekly YouTube live stream, Ask James, where I welcome questions from the YouTube community on anything football related. Although I suspect this week is going to be James, should I take this hit? James, should I make this transfer? Coming up, before we get into questions, I'm going to do a little bit on Tottenham to cover that off. So if you ask a Tottenham question, unless it's related to the Europa League draw, feel free to delete that from the chat already. But before we get into that and the questions, let's start with team news as we stand as of 3 p.m. UK time on Friday the 26th of February, ahead of double game week 26. Manchester City and West Ham will begin the game week tomorrow lunchtime. Kevin De Bruyne is fully fit, according to Pep Guardiola. Nathan Aki, the only expected absentee. Guardiola did warn in midweek of potentially 5 or 6 changes. None of us know what Pep's going to do. For West Ham, Masuaku and Yarmolenko remain out. Ryan Fredericks is a doubt. West Bromwich Albion play Brighton in a big game at 3 p.m. Robert Snodgrass is out but could return on Thursday versus Everton. Semi Ajayi will serve a one-match ban. Expect Dara O'Shea to cover at centre-half for the Baggies. For Brighton, Tarik Lamptey has trained this week but will be a substitute at best at the Hawthorns, according to Potter. And Webster's injury is worse than initially thought. He could actually be out until April. It was expected to be little more than a week, but now looks like he's going to be 6 weeks or so. Leeds and Aston Villa's 5:30 on Saturday. Really looking forward to this one. For Leeds, Phillips and Rodrigo remain out. Click and Shackleton are doubts. Cock is also out. Could return in game week 27. For Aston Villa, Jack Grealish is out. He will not play at Elland Road, but he could return for Wednesday or the game week 27 encounter with Wolves. Dean Smith has said it will be led by Jack Grealish in terms of when he returns. Matty Cash remains out but has begun running already. That's a note of caution for those who have perhaps picked up El Mahabadi and are looking to have that cover through till game week 29, as that's 3 weeks away. I'd expect Cash will return ahead of game week 29. But El Mahabadi should play right back this weekend. Newcastle and Wolves complete Saturday. Joel Linton is past fit. He came off with a knock at Old Trafford, but he's available. Federico Fernandes is close to return, but the game may come too soon. Javier Manquillo is also close to return. Callum Wilson is still 3 or 4 weeks away, so every chance he won't return till after the international break, which is prior to game week 30. There was previously some hope that he may return in game week 27. That now looks like it won't happen. There's also strong rumours that Martin Dubravka will return in goal ahead of Cole Darlow. For Wolves, news a little bit sketchy on the ground, so you may want to double check that. Not that I think particularly looking to buy their assets, in spite of the fact that they have a double. Raul Jimenez is likely to return before the end of the season, according to Nuno Santo. I wouldn't expect that to be sort of mid-April at the earliest. There's 2 games Sunday, 12 o'clock, Crystal Palace, Fulham, Leicester, Arsenal. For Palace, Wilfried Zaha and Geoffrey Schlupp could return against Manchester United in the second part of their game week 26 double. Nathaniel Clyne is the latest player to have picked up an injury. For Fulham, Alexander Mitrovic returns to the squad. Kongolo and Kearney remain out. For Leicester, James Maddison saw a specialist yesterday and was due to see another one today about a hip problem. Surgery is unlikely to be required, but it's assumed he probably won't start on Sunday. For Arsenal, Mikel Arteta has warned against Saka being fatigued, but as they've got a free midweek next week, every chance he may well play again. Thomas Partey came on as a sub last night in the win over Benfica. And Rob Holding will be available, having missed out last night due to concussion protocols. For Tottenham, who hosts Burnley at 2 o'clock on Sunday, Serge Aurier should be available, according to Jose Mourinho. The only absentee is likely to be Giovanni Lo Celso, who will return in a couple of weeks. For Burnley, Ashley Barnes is out. Eric Peters and Robbie Brady are doubts. Johan Berg-Gudmundsson is also out. Chris Wood has trained but remains a doubt. Jay Rodriguez should be okay. Chelsea play Manchester United 4:30 on Sunday UK time. No new injuries for Thomas Tuchel's side, although Thiago Silva remains out of this weekend. For Manchester United, Daniel James may have picked up an injury last night in the draw with Real Sociedad. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is hopeful that Scott McTominay, Donny van der Beek and Edison Cavani could be available. Paul Pogba remains out. For Sheffield United and Liverpool, they can cry together about their injury list on Sunday night. For the Blades, Chris Basham is the latest to be added to the injury list, likely to be out for a few weeks. Jadon Bogle also likely to be out for a few weeks as well. For Liverpool, some good news. Diogo Jota has been training this week and could be involved in the squad, though very unlikely to start. Fabinho and James Milner will train on Saturday and will be assessed. However, Jordan Henderson has had surgery on a groin injury and is out until at least April. Jurgen Klopp also would not confirm if Alisson will be available following the death of his father, unfortunately, in midweek. And Monday night, Everton play Southampton. Allen and Calvert-Lewin are available to start for the Toffees. Yerry Mina could return in game week 28, is the suggestion. For Southampton, really bad news for them. Oriol Romeo's season is over. He needs ankle surgery. Minamino is also out of this game with a light muscle injury, but could return for game week 27. Walker Peters, Diallo and Walcott remain out on Tottenham. So, I've had a mountain of questions this week, and many of them I've not been able to answer until Tottenham obviously played the second leg of their Europa League game on Wednesday evening. And a lot of the questions surrounds what to do with defensive assets. Sergio Reguilón haven't had the break on Wednesday and returned at West Ham last Sunday. I would be extremely confident that he starts against Burnley on Sunday. Does he play twice? How long's a piece of string? A lot can happen between Sunday and Thursday. My guess would be with a four-day break that yes, there is every chance that he will start both of those games. He is the only one of the defensive assets that I would recommend. To be honest, with Aurier potentially about available, he'd be second on the list. But word of warning, right back this weekend could be Aurier, could be Doherty, could be Tanganga. Centre-backs, Dier and Alderweireld played in midweek. I think that might be the partnership actually that plays again on Sunday. Could easily be Davinson Sanchez. Could easily be Joe Rodon. Jose Mourinho has no clue now what his favoured centre-back partnership was. For the first 4 months of this season, it was always Eric Dier plus one. Now, he doesn't rate any of them. He hasn't got a clue what he's doing with them. So completely avoid the centre-backs. Aurier would be a ridiculous punt, in my opinion, but is the only one of the right backs I would consider. If you really, really want to buy a Tottenham defender, Reguilón is the best way to go. I would look at it like this and say, even if he doesn't play twice, could he get me good returns in one game? The answer to that question is yes. Hugo Lloris, obviously, if he's fit, will play both games. There's every chance with Hugo. He can pick up save points. Midfielders, don't get clever about Lucas. I see a lot of people mentioning, obviously, Gareth Bale. Another great goal in midweek for him. Got a nice little 25 minutes or so at the end. I expect him to start on Sunday. But let me put it like this. If the first 45 minutes do not go well for Gareth Bale and Tottenham, there is every chance Mourinho will take him off at halftime, and that will be it. And it will be a 1 or 2 pointer for him in a double game week. Not worth the risk when Sonny should still play the two games and they're at a similar price. I'm buying Harry Kane tonight. He is going to be my triple captain unless something spooks me from an injury perspective. I've seen Mourinho's comments today that have said that Carlos Vinicius will play Premier League games because it's impossible for Harry Kane to play every game. I could not give a toss about it. I'll be buying Harry. Triple captaincy is going on him. That's my thoughts on Tottenham. Covered. Let's cover some other stuff. Let's get into questions. Ray Qureshi says, hi, James. How many players would be a solid minimum for game week 29? No hits. I'm set to have 9. Good luck, pal. 9's very reasonable, mate. As ever with these questions, it's not so much about the how many, it's the what. You know, if you've got 3 Newcastle players, are you happy with that for game week 29? If you've got 3 Arsenal players, are you happy with that for game week 29? It's not so much the volume. What is the volume? If you've got the good covered bases in terms of Kane's son, to be honest. Villa, most people are going to have something of. You've got people like Suchek, Soufal, probably going to sit on the bench for you for a few weeks, or Cresswell. That's all fine. Arsenal's probably the one to target on 29 itself, I would say. Maybe game week 28 ahead of the North London derby. Brighton, Newcastle also, generally speaking, target on the week. What I would say with that, Ray, if you're going no hits on that period, it's definitely going to be worth you taking a minus four to get yourself 10. You will make that back. You should do, at least if it's attacking players, just on appearance points. So a minus four will get you to 10. Every chance I'll fall through to get an 11 in game week 29, but if I've got 9 or so, that's fine, Ray. Bets 1604 says, hi, James. What is both your highest and lowest moments as a Spurs fan? Highest maybe Lucas winner versus Ajax. Lowest maybe Hazard's goal in the Battle of the Bridge. Cheers. Yes, of course, Lucas winner against Ajax. Lowest, that Hazard goal wouldn't even be anywhere near the lowest, because I don't know how any, the title was already done. It was long done. To be honest, I'd put the drawing at home to West Brom the week before as a bigger disappointment than that, to be honest. Lowest point ever as a Spurs fan. Oh, we're taking some beatings, aren't we? Like Newcastle 7-1, 96, 97. Go to Southampton losing 4-0, third round of cup in, I think, 2003, I want to say. That was dark. Some dark trips across this country doing absolutely nothing. Liverpool at home 5-0. Chelsea at home 6-1 in 1997. Those would be darker ones. I mean, at least in the Hazard case against Tottenham in the Battle of the Bridge, and say, what a great second half of the season we had that year. So it was a little bit of pride amongst the pain of that. I think the one I've highlighted to a few of the patrons before is at the end of the 13-14 season, when we actually beat Aston Villa 3-0 on the final day of the season to qualify for the UEFA Cup or the Europa League. I felt numb after that. Didn't like any of the players. Didn't like the way we were playing. Had no clue was going to manage the team next season. It just felt really, really low. Really, really low. It was the first time ever at the end of the season I didn't stay to like clap the players at the end of the season. I was just shy. I just wanted to get out of there. So that was quite a low moment in a strange way. But I guess to highlight one particular game, maybe that Liverpool 5-0 at home was bad. Really, really bad. It was 5-0. It should have been about fucking 10-0. So in terms of individual moments, yeah, that. And obviously VS Boas was sacked a couple of days after that, quite rightly so. Angus McPhail says, hi, James. Thoughts on Europa League last 16 draws for the British teams? Largely positive. I think the draw is good for Tottenham with Dynamo Zagreb. Couldn't have been much better than that. I think Olympiacos is a good draw for Arsenal. I know they knocked Arsenal out last year. But Arsenal played two away games in this particular round just gone. I guess now it's two home games, because then they played at Olympiacos Stadium last night. The irony. So Arsenal, you'd expect to beat Olympiacos as well. Good draw for Rangers. Although, I mean, Slavia Prague got an amazing result at Leicester last night. I didn't watch the game, but by all accounts, they thoroughly deserved it. They've got some good young players, apparently. So it'll give Rangers a game, but I think great chance for Rangers to make the last eight. And United and AC Milan is obviously the glamour tie. I think I saw it would be the 11th meeting in European competition and the first time that's not been in European Cup / Champions League. So you'd expect that to be a great tie. I haven't watched enough Italian football this season to know if you would make Milan or United favourites. I know that the bookies will make United favourites because of weight of money in this particular country. And from what I know, I would probably make United favourites myself. But yeah, United have got the toughest draw of the four. I would say that's for definite. Dylan Fell says, hey, James, what's your go-to dish from the Chinese or Indian? Indian's a mixed grill because I can't take the spice, mate. Mrs. loves it. Chinese, chow mein, egg fried rice, sweet and sour chicken balls, bit of spare rib, whatever else is coming with, basically. I ain't had a Chinese for ages. Nigel Sam says, hi, James. Who do you think is the best captaincy option from City next week, as it will affect whether I get in Gundogan this week or not? Sterling or Kevin De Bruyne, good options depending on their mins this week. If I was free hitting this week, I think the first name I'd be putting in there is Kevin De Bruyne, personally. I'm not going to force from Gundogan to Kevin De Bruyne. The priority for me is to obviously get Harry Kane in. But I think if I was the captain of City player, KDB would now be my preference, having been sub at Everton, got a good hour against Arsenal, rest again in midweek, ready to go, particularly with Guardiola saying 5 or 6 changes this weekend. I mean, we can all assume that Kevin De Bruyne will probably be one of them. They won't take risks with him, though. So, I mean, it wouldn't shock me if he starts Saturday and doesn't start on Tuesday. But that applies to every player in that squad, bar Edison, doesn't it? Which Manchester City players now to play the double? None of them, other than Edison. But I'd go De Bruyne. Adrash says, good afternoon, James. Plan to transfer out Lotan for a hit. Need a defender who plays in 29, since I don't have free hit. Have Martinez so reluctant to go for more Villa defenders. Thoughts on Reguilón? I think that's fairly answered for you. That's your choice. I would have no problem going double Villa defensive, going Konsa, for example, Matt Target. I wouldn't worry about it. I think it's absolutely fine. Those are the ones to cover you. If you're taking a hit to get Lotan out, then I don't think the Fulham guys particularly make sense. But Adebayor or Anderson would be the recommendation from there. So I think you're going to land on Reguilón, Adosh. James Horan says, hey, James, hope you're well. Would you play safe and do me to Dean, or gamble and do Cancelo and Grealish out for KDB and Dean? No, I probably wouldn't, to be honest. Jack Grealish could be back real soon. I think he's one. I wouldn't even bus him in the team this week, personally. I'd want another double, but you don't necessarily want to lose him. It's hard to advise that, but obviously I don't know what the rest of your team looks like, James. But no, you're going to probably want Jack Grealish back. Consider that double game week 28 could still happen. And if it happens, I'm not expecting an announcement prior to game week 26 deadline. I guess there could be one this afternoon, but I'm not expecting one. And I still think there's a good chance that Villa and Everton possibly happens in 28. So I wouldn't want to be selling their assets personally in case that could happen. And even more so in Villa's case, knowing that they cover 29 anyway if you're not free hitting. If you're free hitting anyway in 29, James, then I'm more inclined to say yes. Otherwise, no, I would keep Jack Grealish about, my friend. Ray Gunner says, hi, James, touched on it last week, but fixture announcement took over. Thoughts on Arteta so far? What's impressed you and where do you think he has room for improvement? Cheers. Well, he has impressed me. I see a clear philosophy strategy in what Arsenal were trying to do under Arteta. I think they're able to alternate what they want to do. You saw against Manchester City that they obviously sat off very deep. There was a clear defensive strategic plan to stay in the game. They basically played a 4-2-2-2, which we haven't seen from them before, which led to Aubameyang and Pepe splitting into wide positions when they had the ball from starting central positions, which was designed to force City wide. But I mean, Morris was doing quite a number on Kieran Tierney earlier in the game. So it had some pros and some cons, but I don't mind that. Try something, a different strategic strategy. I think depending on personnel is quite dependent on whether they press or not. Like Elneny's quite a limited footballer, but we've seen on occasions when he plays with Partey, then they can go and press. I actually think Granit Xhaka's done all right so far this year, oddly enough. I think he's probably the favoured partner for Thomas Partey now. He's obviously been unlucky with injuries. The reality is Arsenal, in similar position to Tottenham, just don't have enough good players. There's so many poor players at both of those clubs. With Arsenal, I see a strategic idea of where it wants to go. With Tottenham, I just see a plan for the next game. Arsenal, I see progression. But I think Arsenal fans will need to be very, very patient. I think the majority of Arsenal fans realise what he's trying to do, and changing that is not necessarily the right way to go. There's been some good buys that he's bought, like Kieran Tierney, for example. The development of Bukayo Saka is beyond what any Arsenal fan expected. So I think there's some positive signs there. He obviously went through the period where it seemed blindly obvious to put Aubameyang back through the middle, and he was a bit stubborn about it. I think he'd learn lessons from that. You have to remember it's his first managerial job, so he's going to make mistakes along the way. I think having suffered that really bad period where he was probably on the edge of getting sacked, actually, will put him in good stead going forward. So I think Arsenal were a long way off from a quality perspective. Not been helped by injuries this year, as said. Tierney, Partey, Gabriel, new signings, we've all had injuries at various stages. But I think they're progressing in a direction that the patient Arsenal fan will be quite happy with. Dylan Farrell says, did you make any moves in this week's draft? What do you go for? I went Giroud and Barnes to Mateta and J-Rod. Not sure it will go well. I've not looked at the draft Patreon plan yet, Dylan. To be very honest with you, not even looked at it, my friends. I couldn't answer you. I did set up a bus team, though, and the most likely thing is I'm sticking with what I've got, actually. That was part of the draft idea when I did it. Tom Bolton, afternoon, James. Thoughts on Reguilon after his rest midweek? I'm going to skip that, Tom. Thanks for the question, because I've obviously covered Tottenham in a bit of detail. If you've got similar questions to that, guys, please hit the delete button. It'd be much appreciated, especially for the benefit of the audio listeners. Lauren Harris, is Traore in for Grealish worth a -4? And if so, would you add Mitchell to Aina Reguilon to that for a -8? Mitchell, I think, probably plays twice for Palace. I think you probably suffer it and hope that you get the clean sheet against Fulham. I'd expect Mitchell to play tomorrow, personally, or Sunday lunchtime, rather, in that first game. You're not expecting anything from the Manchester United game anyway. We're expecting 1-2 points. So you're looking at the clean sheet originally in the first game. So probably no on the second one there, Lauren. Depends if you're struggling with what you've got elsewhere, but as a previously answered to someone else's question, if you haven't come this far with Grealish, if you're bench boosting, you're going to want to get rid. But if you're not bench boosting, it's probably a no. It's probably, oddly enough, it's a hang on and see if there's something else you can change. Because the benefit of still having Jack Grealish there for you, if he's back next week, will definitely work to your benefit. I'm fairly certain of that. Damien Rosowski says, hi, James. Your thoughts on Ricardo Pereira and Anwar El Ghazi as FPL assets? Pereira, good. Good double. Two good fixtures afterwards. I would expect him to play right back. Obviously flirted with right midfield against Villa last week, but I think generally speaking, yep, can't argue that. I did a projected free hit 11 for my advanced tier patrons this week and had Ricardo Pereira in that 11, so good shout. El Ghazi less so. I think it's probably toss a coin between whether it's him or Trezeguet that plays for Villa against Leeds tomorrow, and it's not long term, is it? Grealish, by the sounds of it, it's not bad. By the sounds of it. So if Grealish is back, possibly even for the midweek, then can't be advising El Ghazi. Alavi Serenan says, hi, James, got Kane in already and I want another Spurs attacker. I'm 0.1 short of getting Sun, so would have to take another -4 to get him. Probably me to burn the game with 29, or should I go Bale? As mentioned at the top, Alavi, the advice for me would be not to go Gareth Bale. Is he capable? Yes, of course he's capable. I never doubted the ability in the lad. And now he looks fit, don't get me wrong. But it could very quickly turn back the other way, and I'm very, very conscious of that. I wouldn't be doing you a justice if I recommended Bale. It's a punt. It's a punt, honestly. So I recommend it would have to still be some. Lauren also says, thoughts on Gerrard's achievements with Rangers. Scottish League, not great, but he's done better with Rangers in Europe than Brendan Rodgers did with Celtic. Yes, very true. I mean, it's worth saying, Lauren, that when Brendan Rodgers was failing in Europe with Celtic, it was essentially a one-team league then, because Rangers were obviously building their way back and recovering through the leagues and needed a while to catch up back up to Celtic, which they've now done. Gerrard's done a great job. So that made Rodgers' task in European competition a little bit more difficult, because there's literally almost no competitive games for Celtic at that time. Didn't they go unbeaten and win the treble or something? Crazy. But for Gerrard to get Rangers to the last 16 Europa League consecutive years is extremely good. I think I saw a stat that he's already got the most wins in Europe of any Rangers manager in their history. That's astonishing. He's doing a great job. They've got a tie in the last 16, which they're very capable of winning, as mentioned, against Slavia Prague. I wouldn't have feared playing them, is the only thing I would say about it. As someone who's played Fancy Scotland this season, I've had a little bit more of an eye on Scottish football than what I would have done previously. They are clearly the best side. They're probably the best team that's played in Scotland in the last decade or so. But in terms of actually fearing it or an expectation that they could go on and win the Europa League, generally and realistically, I would find that highly unlikely. But a lot depends on the draw. There's some weak teams left in Europa League, and it always happens in the last 32 of the Europa League that some big names go out unexpectedly, like Napoli, Bayer Leverkusen, and a few others. It always happens in the last 32. So the draws opened up where you could win this one and you could get another good draw and then potentially in the semi-final. And once you're at that stage, yeah, you can really think about the prospect of winning it. He's doing an amazing job. An amazing job. Edwin Grant says, Kane and Luca Dean / Pereira in for Ings and me. Would you take a -4 and get Barnes for Souček? I wouldn't, because I just want to leave Souček hanging about personally for game week 29, Edwin. So to answer that question is very much dependent on your strategy. Tiffy Ferreira says, hi, James. Shin injury normally lasts 4 weeks. This effectively rules out Grealish for blank game week. Not according to the words that I've seen from Dean Smith today. Dean Smith could be lying, but shin injury could just be bad bruising. We're not aware of any bone injury particularly, or is it muscle to shin? Shin splints has been mentioned, but not been confirmed. For shin splints, then yeah, sure, absolutely. He won't play till April probably. There's no confirmation on that, mate. Theodore said, would you take a hit for Lowton out to a Fulham Brighton defender? No, I would not. We'll just play the Burnley defender. My last selection in terms of my team this week is going to be close between Ben Mee and Ademola Lookman for the starting 11. I'm likely to go with Lookman. I think the other thing I like about going Lookman over Mee is, although I'll have Lookman against Kane, as they're both attacking assets, effectively they're not against each other, which would actually leave me from the 17 fixtures with no attacking player against a defensive player, which I quite like. It's almost then like an all-in week. I quite like that. Whereas, obviously, if I play Mees, he's obviously up against Kane this week. Tiffy says, would you recommend Traore or McGinn or El Ghazi as Grealish replacements? I mean, from that poll, definitely Traore, in my opinion. Angus McPhail says, thoughts on Neil Lennon resigning just before Rangers clinched the title? Guess he didn't lose it. I can't believe that Neil Lennon lasted as long as he did. 90% of Celtic fans, from what I see on social media, wanted him gone months ago. I can't believe Celtic waited so long. Johannes Adamlak says, hello, James. Which formation do you think is best for the game this week with free hits yet activated? That's a good question. So in that free hit team that I put together for my advanced tier patrons, I actually went 5-3-2. So there you go. There's your answer. Jay Lodge says, hello, mate. Two questions from me. Play either Pope or Johnston, and Lowton or Rafinha. Thanks, pal. I'm going to pick the doubler, which I know is not probably right, but I would go Lowton or Rafinha. Burnley capable clean sheet in any game. It's worth mentioning. Yes, it's two tough fixtures. They are capable in any game. And for that reason, because of the ownership as well, I probably would go Pope over Johnston. Because if Pope does get a clean sheet, you're going to be looking at double points from him. Two good fixtures for Johnston, though. I'm likely to go Areola over Johnston, but I'm not 100% locked that in yet. West Brom definitely better defensively now with our friend OK playing in the holding midfield position. And Connor Townsend's been a blessing for them back at left back as well. And it's a decent double, Brighton at home, Everton at home. But I think I'm going to go Areola over Johnston. And I think I would probably go Pope over Areola because of the capability of the man in goal. So I would say Pope, mate. Edwin Gwan says, which animal do you think you can knock out hypothetically? Is a pigeon an animal? Mind you can never catch the bastards, can you? An animal that I could knock out. This is awful. We've had to say like a rabbit. It's cruelty, isn't it? Not sure I'm comfortable with that. Anything that's big, which is to me, the majority of things are big, probably nothing. Roseanne Fleur says, your thoughts on Aston Villa defensive assets up to game week 30? Does Grealish injury impact on their defence? That's to be confirmed, Roseanne. The Leicester game is really difficult to judge because they're one of the best teams in the league, aren't they? It's difficult to say if it affects them defensively or not. I wouldn't have a problem with buying, personally, if you want a Consor or a Target or something like that. I wouldn't recommend against it. Wolves in 27 as well. They can be a bit shot shy. James Brennan says, hi, James. I'm undecided between Consor and Reguilón for this week, playing towards 29. So I want a Villa or a Spurs player. Here's an important part on Reguilón. And it's not just Reguilón, it's other people. When you're planning for 29. A lot can happen in 3 weeks. Reoccurring injuries, new injuries, loss of form, manager changes with ideas. From that perspective, you know that if Consor's fit, he's probably going to play. Reguilón could play every game up to game week 29, not play 29. So what's important to you? Is it having the player in 29? If that's what's the priority, having the body in 29, I'm just going to say buy Consor. Because for me to predict now if Reguilón plays at Aston Villa in game week 29 when Tottenham are going to play in Zagreb 3 days earlier, well, a lot of that depends on what Tottenham do against Zagreb in the first leg of the Europa League game and also what Tottenham do in their Premier League fixtures between now and then. Can't give you that answer. So if 29 is important to you, James, honestly, buy Consor. The best buy out of the two this week, in my opinion, would be Reguilón. Bloomer Caldera says, should I bring in Kane and Bale instead of Kane and Son? No, I'm not going to advise that, Bloomer. I've covered already. Yulogu says, hi, James. Would you hit out Dallas for Pereira Castagne this week on a bench boost? Free hit will be played in 29, so he'll be back. Good luck and thanks. Yeah. Bench boost, yeah. All I'd say to that is my bench boost target, as many of you will know, 16 points. If you're taking a minus four, I'd want 20 points. Look at your players. Is it realistic for them to get 20 points? If so, yes, crack on. Do it. Lamichi says, hi, James. Would you minus four to get Keane for Lewis? And bench boost with Pope, Dallas, Bamford, target. Also plan to take another minus eight to get Kane in and captain. I think it's important that you do that on these sort of things. So the extra minus four there is purely on the Kane move. So that you don't then thinking 24 for the bench boost. Thank you for clarifying that, Lamiji. So you're looking for 20 from the bench boost. 20 from Dallas, Bamford, Pope, target. Capable. But as I learned in game week 18 or 19, whenever it was, Leeds have the bad day, you're not getting there. You're not getting there, essentially. You need Pope or target to pull you through big and get you a double point. And even that might not be enough to get you to the 20. The honest answer to that is, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. If you were doing it without hits and that's 16, that's borderline. Borderline. Obviously, look, Dallas got 15 points on Tuesday nights. If he does that again, you're there, aren't you? But you need similar to happen. Ben Rosario, I'm on a bench boost and I have 11 double game week players. I'm taking a minus four to get 12. Is it worth to sell Dallas for a minus eight to get another doubler? Kind of just covered, Bevan. You set your own targets individually on what you've got. Where do you want to get? What's your expectation? The more hits you take, the more you want that bench boost to perform. Unless, like Lamichi, you're taking a specific minus four because you want to get Kane in and captain him. I get that. That's a little bit different. Jacine Jazz, hi James, Bamford to DCL or Grealish to Son for a minus four. Already got Kane, Watkins, planning for triple captain Kane. No free hit left for game week 29. Bamford to DCL for me, mate. Bamford to DCL. Consider the prospect of a possible 28 as well. Alfredo Demetrius, is Hugo Lloris becoming old? Yeah, we're all becoming old, mate. His reflexes are slowing down, as seen by a goal conceded recently. Should Spurs buy Dean Henderson as a replacement? I think Spurs will begin to look for a replacement, but I'm not necessarily expecting for it to be this summer. Getting a new number one is far from the priority of the team. Honestly, I'm not joking. There's about six or seven positions I'd be more concerned about improving than goalkeeper. But at some point in the next 18 months, yes, Tottenham will be looking to replace Hugo, I'm sure. Bevan Rosario says, hi, what do you think of Captain Diaz for this game week? Are the two fixtures a guaranteed 12 points or is Kane Fernandes a better pick? Well, the first thing you need to ask with that, Bevan, is do you think Kane or Fernandes will get more than 12 points? Ruben Diaz, generally speaking. Do I think City keep two clean sheets? Yes. One goal brings that down, conceded brings that down to probably an eight. Do you think Kane or Fernandes is going to outscore that? I think the answer is probably yes. For Diaz to be a great choice this week, you need an attacking return, which he's capable of. If the FTLOL podcast, hello guys, own at Dallas and might be in a similar situation to a lot, so bench boost 26, free hit 29 and World Cup 31. Are there any defenders worth taking a minus four for to move to from Dallas? So you're free hitting 29, so you don't even really want Dallas in what's coming up then in that case. The answer is yes. Reguilón, Dean, Pereira. You might struggle with them financially. If you're struggling with them financially, I'm not sure there's brilliant options at around about the 5 million mark. But I think Reguilón's 5.5, isn't he? Pereira maybe 5.9, Dean 6.1, I want to say. Obviously, you've only got two Manchester City defenders. John Stones, breaking midweek. Very comfortably say yes on that one for me. So I think, yeah, there are options, mate. Rama Miz says, hi, James. I have a back four of Dean, me, Stones, Dyer. Christ. With one free transfer in the bank, 1.7 million. Thanks for putting that in the chat two times and not finishing your question. That's helpful. Next, JFPL says, hi, James. Which Tottenham player do you think will benefit most from having fans back in the stadium? Gareth Bale. Peter Featherstone. play Mitchell. They probably won't be around to see it, obviously. Peter Featherstone, play Mitchell or get Target from -4. I mean, that's strategy dependent, Peter. So if you're planning to get players in for 29 as well, then I think it's worth it because you'll see the upside of that in the next few game weeks, even if you don't this week. So it's dependent on what you're doing, mate. Tom Bolton, for those not bench boosting, 26. He's leaning into that disadvantage by keeping hold of players bench boosters will struggle to have for 27. For example, Suchek and Antonio, who have leads, a way to turn weakness into strength. Yes, I mean, I've got Suchek and Su-Fau. There's every chance I'll possibly play them in game with 27 against Leeds. Yeah, Antonio would be a good player in 27. Absolutely. I mean, you look at Calvert-Lewin away to Chelsea, but then, as I've covered previously, Calvert-Lewin got a good return at Old Trafford, got a good return at Tottenham earlier in the season. Could he get a good return at Chelsea? If he got the assist at Liverpool, having only played 20 minutes or so. If Everton were to have a good day, he's in the returns, isn't it? That's all it's about with DCL. Are Everton going to have a good day? If so, quite often he'll get the returns. But certainly for those, I know what you're saying, those leaning to the bench push, yes, you're probably going to be removing many of your West Ham assets this week. It's the lead single game week players that people want to keep. And I accept that, particularly the Dallas, Rafinha, Bamford. If you want to keep them about as part of a bench boost, I get that. Yes, it's the West Ham guys are going to go. I'm not going to recommend anyone bench boost with Antonio and Suchek on the bench away to Man City. John O'Sullivan, will Vardy outscore Richarlison over the next 2 weeks? And if so, by how much? Sounds very specific, John. Vardy has Arsenal, Burnley and Brighton. Richarlison has Southampton, West Brom and Chelsea. I'd say very close call between the two. Probably shade for Vardy. In terms of by how much, not a lot. S. Rosson says, hi, James. Hope you and yours are well. Kane and DCL are definitely my two free transfers. Would you do Justin to Adebayo -4? Leave me to choose from me, Rafinha, for final place in 11, or play both and no -4. Again, if you're planning for 29, there's definitely reasonable to take the hit for Adebayo over Justin. You'll make the ground. The only caution on that is you're not going to play Adebayo in 27 or 28 against Liverpool or Manchester City unless you're in a really bad situation. I just don't foresee that. So in that case, unlike the previous one, you probably really are judging that on 26 and then 29 specifically. But again, look, he should get you 5 to 6 points just on appearance points. Is it worth it? Probably not. Probably not, because you're probably not going to start in 27 or 28. So the answer is probably no. T-Tac, God, there's a lot of -4s going to be bunching about this week, isn't there? Would you take a -4 for Barnes from Grealish? If I was bench boosting, yes. If not, probably not. No, I'd probably just bench Grealish this week. Again, depends with how well you're set for 29 if you're heading that way. I probably wouldn't. I'd put off enough Harvey Barnes with the absence of Maddison as well to not want to do that. Arsenal Burnley be a little bit more defensive in terms of how high their line is. That's not particularly great for Harvey Barnes either. It would be a no for me. Whatever clues. Hey, James, I've got two Manchester City players. Get a third, mate. Do you reckon it's better to hold that spot free for Bruno to KDB next week rather than getting Gundog in this week? If you want KDB, I'll just do it now. I mean, I would make Bruno a better captaincy shout this week than KDB, partly because of the effective ownership and stuff. But no, I think I'd just get Gundog in and then you keep Bruno. You keep Bruno through the tough fixtures if you want to. I haven't quite decided if I'm thinking maybe Bruno to Son in 27 rather than what would be a -4 to do it now. I don't see the benefit in it. Free transfer next week. And it might even be next week. I decide, oh, okay, maybe Bale instead. I can't be making that Bale decision now. John Robson says, afternoon, James. I'm set on bringing in Kane for triple captain, but need to remove one of Son, Salah or Bruno. Feel the safe play is Son, but his game in 29 makes it difficult to remove him. Thoughts? Look, the three players you mentioned there could all go off this week. They're premium players. They're consistent and brilliant players. Personally, on that, I'd probably be removing Salah as long as you're comfy that the Manchester City player you've got in 27, you feel safe to captain. Otherwise, you may want to captain Salah against Fulham. But that's where I'd look at it. And for me, I'd be looking further ahead. And what's quite important for me would be game week 30. This is where the doubt going Bruno to Son next week comes in. Game week 30, Bruno's got Brighton while Salah's got Arsenal. Game week 28, Salah's got Wolves. I don't love that. I actually prefer Bruno against West Ham. So prefer Salah in 27, but Bruno in 28 and 30. This week, I think it's a really close call. Really close call. Great fixture for Salah at the weekend. Jota low looming, as in back in training. Don't expect the start of the week. At the moment, I think Chelsea will probably go to Liverpool and win. I probably see Chelsea United being a low-scoring draw on Sunday against Palace. Bruno could do damage. Against Sheffield United, Salah could do damage. Sun could do damage in either game. It's a difficult call. But I think if you're going to 29, you're holding Sun, aren't you? So it probably comes down to a lot of where you at value-wise as well. If you're up like 0.8, 0.9 on Bruno, that makes him a far harder sell than if you bought him recently. If you're not up much on Salah, then it becomes easy to sell where he's likely to lose value in the next few weeks. Bruno less so, because he's so important to people and the high scoring. He must be the highest scoring player in the game at the moment. So on that basis, I think it's sell Salah, but be reluctant to do it. Benny Blanco says, hi, James. Who is the best 4.6 million or below defender to bring in out of Rüdiger or a Fulham defender? For reference, I don't have the free hits, so Fulham gives me an extra player for the blank. If a Fulham defender, which one? Would be Adebayor over Anderson for me. Aina has had a lot of minutes and has done very well in the last couple of weeks. But I would look at Fulham and say they switched to a back four game weeks ago when they played West Ham. And in the four game weeks since, Robinson, Aina and Tete have all been rotated a little bit, like we saw Aina play it at left back in their double game week 24 double. Tete was the most recent to get left out. Aina was the first to get left out against West Ham. So I wouldn't go near the fullbacks on that basis. I'd judge that on the short term rather than the longer term. So it'd be Anderson and Adebayor. I think Adebayor's got a little bit more threat from set pieces, and Palace ain't particularly good at defending them, Benny. So it would be Adebayor from that on that basis, my friend. And if you're heading towards 29, yes, I probably prefer that over Rüdiger. You just need to have a double check in terms of who you're playing in 27 and 28. You don't want to leave yourself in a position where you're bad there, for example. I don't know, like obviously City and United playing each other in 27. You don't really want to play Adebayor at Fulham. If you've got Luca Dean, do you want to play him away to Chelsea? If you've got Lewis Dunk, do you want to play him home to Leicester? Just have a double check at what you've got fixtures-wise. Make sure you're happy with the three you've got in 27, 28. And if that's the case, then I would go Adebayor, mate. Ivo McGrand says, bench boost Bamford, White from Brighton, Rafinha and Areola with two free transfers. And starting team with 11 good doublers. Should I move any of the four on with 29 in mind? Well, you'll be very well set up for 29 with that bench, Ivo. I presume you've probably got a little bit of Tottenham in there somewhere, possibly a bit of Villa, maybe a Martinez or something as well. So you're well set. But if you're well set, like if you're sitting there with 8 or 9 ready for game week 29, you can afford to move something on, can't you? So depends how many you've got in prep for 29. Because obviously, if they're the only four you've got for 29, you probably definitely don't want to move any of them. It's very dependent on what you've got. On the face of it, is that okay for a bench boost? Yes, it is, particularly with people like Bamford and Rafinha. But that could very easily be 10 points, which you wouldn't be happy with, personally. If you're taking a minus four, then you want to get up towards 20. It's probably only worth the minus four if the player you're getting in, you're extremely confident, can get you double points. That would be where I'd be at with it. Matt J says, hi, James. I'm weighing up Grealish and Ings out for either Kane and Traore or DCL on Sun, wildcard in game week 30. I presume that's meant to end with a question mark there, Matt. I'm going to go with the Kane option, but the pairing of DCL and Sun is better than the pairing of Kane and Traore, in my opinion. Andraz says, hi, James. What's your best guess on how many minutes Bale will get in double game with 26? I know it's a big punt, but I think if it was ever sensible to buy Bale, it's now. How many minutes will Bale get in the double? Let's say 140. There you go. Now that could comprise of like a 90 minutes and a 50 minutes, or you know, one half-time substitution brought on in midweek, 90 minutes this week. I'm thinking on that it's probably 60 to 70 minutes twice. It's probably what I think is more likely. So that's where the 140 number comes from. Maybe on that basis, to be honest, it's probably more like 130 based on that. I see him 60 to 70 minutes twice. That's how I see it at the moment. Prey says, hey James, which transfer do you think it's worth taking a hit for? Rafinha to Barnes or me to Dean? We'll be using free transfer on Ings to Watkins. Recommendation would be Dean. And also Prey says, do you think it's worth playing the triple captainship this game week if it's not on Kane? Yeah, I've seen the video you put out. I know the alternatives, but I'm still unsure. Well, I recommend Tuesday's People's Poll where we covered it. And one of the things we said in there was, if you're not bench boosting this week, whoever you choose, probably the best opportunity is still this week. Whether it's a City player, whether it's Salah, whether it's Bruno, whether it's Calvert-Lewin, whether it's Watkins, whomever. If you're not bench boosting this week, the player that you want to go with is probably not going to have a better opportunity than this week. That's the answer. Ivo says, afternoon, James. Any better options for 4.6 or less than Rudiger? Yeah, it's kind of just covered. Maybe the Fulham options. Depends on what your strategy is. Pup says, hi, James. Non-FPL question. Oh, thank goodness, Pups. You're my favourite person on this stream. My team, Bristol City, just appointed Nigel Pearson as manager. And I feel like I'm the only one who hates the decision. Do you have any opinions on him as a manager? Very unlucky to be sacked at Watford, considering he got them out the shit originally and then they fell back into it after the pandemic. The timing of the sacking before two games from the end was absolutely bizarre. But many of the Watford fans I spoke to weren't that bothered that he went, didn't take to him. The Leicester team that won the league was essentially his team, then plus N'Golo Kante. Was basically his team. He'd finished that season brilliantly at Leicester. In terms of trying to get your team out of the Championship, Pups, I would say it sounds like quite a good appointment to me. He is a little bit of an ostrich. Get your head out of the sand. Many of you remember the famous press conference he did when he was Leicester manager. I don't think he's very likable as an individual. But Bristol City have been one of the clubs have been close for a long time, but never been really close, other than the one playoff loss to Hull, which I want to say was 2008. Other than that, you've never really, really been close. And he's the sort of manager who might get that out of you. You don't need to ask me about getting managers in who you don't like. For you, it might be a means to success. For me, I don't think it will be. I wish you luck, though. Always seem like a decent club, Bristol City. Jack Watson says, hi, James. Who would you play out of Luton or Rafinha? Or take a hit for Dean in for Luton? Cheers, mate. I don't mind the hitting Dean for Luton because of the potential upside of it. But as said 100 times already, Burnley will keep clean sheets in games you don't expect them to. Now, I'm obviously really hoping Sunday's not one of them, but it wouldn't surprise me to get a clean sheet against Leicester without James Maddison. Wouldn't overly surprise me. Me, personally, I'd want to play the doubler, personally, rather than Rafinha in the majority of cases. Now, I know there's a lot of people disagree with that, and that's absolutely fine. I would want to go to doubler. Personally, I think the hit Luton to Dean, I think that's reasonable. If there was to be news on game week 28 and the double was happening, I would definitely do it. Prey says, sorry for all the questions, but I'm panicked, man, at the moment. Is it sensible to take out Son and Ings to Kane and Barnes for a hit? No, probably not. You weren't decided on triple captain. Now you kind of sound like you want to force in Harry Kane. Listen, don't panic. If you want to panic, this is not the stream for you, my friend. We try and do things a little bit calmer here. If you're putting the TC on Kane, probably yes. But taking Son out feels like it defeats the object a little bit because Sonny could easily outscore Kane. I think I'd just stick the triple captaincy on Son in that case, personally. Sonny's capable. I think Sonny's been very overlooked this week, personally. Rob Pick says, do you think Bertrand Traore or Lookman are worth the -4 to replace Grealish this game week on your wildcard 31 strategy with no free hit? If not, could either do Watkins for Bamford -4 or just start Rafinha? I'd like Watkins for Bamford -4. It's a move that I'm likely to make, although part of a free transfer, Rob. But yeah, again, I mean, if you got confirmation at 28 fixture, I wouldn't hesitate at all. I still think that it will probably happen, although my confidence in it has probably lessened as the week has gone on, I would say. But I think, yeah, live for today, Rob. Live for today. Super Tiger says, hi, James. Hope you're having a good day, pal. I am. I must apologise, particularly for the audio listeners. I don't know if it's been coming out or not, but I am bunged up to fuck. So apologies if you've had the odd snivel from me. It's just a mild bout of man flu, to be honest. So apologies if I've been snivelling a bit or sound ill. That's why. Ivo McGrandall says, what do you think the percentage of teams bench boosting will be? Is this my best time to get a good rise from 1.2 million rank? It is. If you're not playing any chip this week, you're in danger because there are going to be a lot of bench boosters and triple captainers. I don't know how many people have used the bench boost, but I would think the majority of live teams that haven't will be doing so this week. I don't know what the percentage of that is, but I think it'd be pretty big. Off the top of my head, I would have thought at least half of live players this week would be playing bench boost or triple captain, if that helps. Ivo says, best Grealish replacement as I want to move him back next week, 7.7 million or under. So you want a 1 week punt, basically, with the idea to go back. Difficult to look beyond Harvey Barnes at the moment, I think. Mason Mount, maybe not keen. There's a case to say Traore to put in there from Villa. And then you may decide not to go back is one option. I would maybe take that route, actually. Harvey Barnes is the obvious one to suggest, though. Jama Brown says Son and Watkins or Kane and Pereira. I'm going to say Kane and Pereira, mate. Pete Haley says, hi, James. I have Meslier, Lookman, Dallas and White on the bench. Is it worth boosting? I don't want to hold much past 29 as I plan to wildcard and want a cheap bench. So you've got Lookman in there with the double. I would look to move Meslier to a goalkeeper with a double. And then I think, yeah, maybe so. But that, oddly enough, even though you've got Lookman in there, he doesn't feel quite as attractive as the one I had previously, which had Bamford and Rafinha. And I was umming and ahhing about that one a little bit. So again, Pete, I think this comes down to what's your reasonable expectations from that bench if you bench boost it? And my target is always 16 points. You think those four players get you 16 points or more, crack on, mate. Off you go. Perez Penn, are you going to get little Harry involved in playing football when you can? I hope so. I just want the bugger to start talking at the moment now. It's getting a bit frustrating. He talks a lot, but I don't understand what he's saying. Yes, I want to, but it's up to him. It's up to him. I think life's changed from me being forced into football. Yeah, genuinely, if he decides he's got no interest, he's got no interest. All he cares about at the moment is cars. I suspect that will change a little bit as the years progress. Ash says Aina Anderson or Adarabia, as covered previously. Adarabia would be the recommendation for myself. Gary Reza, we've recently heard managers bemoaning what the Premier League are making them do. So who are the Premier League? Isn't it just the clubs themselves? No, the Premier League still has the right to arrange fixtures as and when they want. On consultation with clubs, so I think like Southampton, I think in reflection, the reason Southampton playing at Tottenham didn't happen in game 26 is because it would have meant five away games in a row for Southampton and those five away games over the space of 2.5 weeks. So I think that probably Southampton said, look, is there an alternative here? And the Premier League gone, okay, yes, there is. Fine, we'll hold you back. I think there are certain ones, though, like with Fulham got forced to play against Tottenham because at the time it looked like it was going to be a massive fixture headache for Tottenham, which is still only just about manageable as we're still in the Europa League. So the Premier League still have the power to tell these teams what to do. They've warned them all and said, look, we'll organise fixtures for you at short notice. I think the Premier League, to a certain extent, have a say when it's consultation. If they just get told, like Fulham get told, then that's it. Fulham got told because Tottenham had to play a fixture that midweek. That's why that happened. Otherwise, there was going to be a big problem if Tottenham had stayed in the FA Cup, which obviously they didn't. In Southampton's case, it was not a have to play Tottenham. Someone had to play Tottenham in game week 26. But from that perspective, to Tottenham's perspective, it didn't matter if it was Fulham or Southampton. So there's a time for tell and there's a time for consultation. Villa and Everton are 28, in my opinion, it's probably a little bit consultation. I don't think it's a tell stage. Manchester City, 27, would have been a tell stage. City didn't want it. City didn't want to play in the midweeks of 26, 27. But when someone sat them down and went, look, if you get to the FA Cup final and the Champions League final, this is your problem. What do you want to do? That's the point Man City would have said, okay, yeah, we'll play. That wasn't the case for Southampton. It's not the case for Villa and Everton either. I mean, if you look at it now, if Jack Grealish is going to be out for 3 weeks, it's not in Villa's interest to play the game, is it? So there could be a little bit of consultation involved in it. Might be strategic for Villa to want to leave it later. But I always think these things are silly, right? Because in that time, you've got Allen and Calvert-Lewin more up to speed for Everton. James Rodriguez might be fitter and Villa might have other injuries. Might be without Watkins or whatever. So if a game's there to be played, it should be played. I still think 28 probably will happen, but I'm less confident about it than I was at the start of the week. GTS says, good afternoon, James. I trust you well. Is there a chance the Spurs goal record keeps Kane at New White Hart Lane a couple more seasons? Well, I was delighted to be a guest with Suj on the Llama Lounge yesterday, and towards the end of that show on YouTube, I spoke about that, the record for Kane. Maybe keeping him about not just the Tottenham goal scoring record, but obviously the Premier League goal scoring record as well. Kane's best chance of doing that is staying with Tottenham, ironically, even more so than going to United or a Manchester City, where I guess rotation could become a thing. They might look after him a bit better than Tottenham do. So yes, that's a strong reason for Harry Kane to hang about. I think the strongest reason of all, though, is probably who's going to pay the 150 million or so that it would cost to buy him this year. Who's in that position? United, maybe, if they switch attention from Sancho to Kane, is the money there? Does he want to go to United, knowing that at the moment City are well away? City he'd probably go to, but City have never spent that sort of money on one player. I don't think he'd go to Paris Saint-Germain, even though Pochettino's there, because I don't think he would be inspired to play in that league. But yeah, it's a guarantee of a trophy. Yeah, great. There's Ligue 1, crack on, brilliant. And I don't see Real Madrid paying that sort of money this year either. They're like 900 million in debt. Barcelona are even more in debt, as we've covered previously. So there's a good chance by default that Harry Kane will end up staying. One of the things I spoke about was the idea that, okay, look, he wants to win honours in his career. But if he finishes his career as Tottenham's record goal scorer, basically becomes immortal in terms of Tottenham folklore, arguably becomes the club's greatest ever player. He would be up for debate. And if he breaks the Premier League goal scoring record, I mean, as an individual honour, does it get much better than that? He's not going to win the Ballon d'Or. So as an individual award, what's the best thing? And I know there isn't an actual trophy on it, but someone will give him a trophy when if he breaks that record. And I think to say you're the best goal scorer in the history of the Premier League would be some statement. So yes, those things could help Harry Kane stay. But at the moment, I feel it's more a case of he'd probably have to force it because who's going to pay the money at the moment? And Kane loves Tottenham enough not to force it. Jamie Faint says, hey, James, Rudiger or Rafinha in the start 11 this week? Not an easy one. It's two tough games for Chelsea. But I'd go to doubler. I would go to doubler. And Anne March says, hey, James, do you support double Villa defence until game week 30? Yeah, I said previously, I don't have a massive issue with it, particularly if you've got Martinez. I'm not sure about Konsa and Target. You're possibly going to leave yourself with difficult decisions with that. If you've got like Martinez and Target or Martinez and Konsa, fine. Be cautious what I said at the start of the stream about El Mohamedy. Matty Cash is already back running, so he's likely to be back before game week 29. I'll finish with a Joe Finley batter. Just seeing how many questions are in already. Fair to say, James ain't getting to me. Well, I did, Joe. Thank you for those who asked questions. Apologies to those I didn't cover. As ever, guys, for those who've asked a question in the YouTube chat, if you want to slide into my DMs, do. But if it's something I've already covered, like -4 for this, that, and the other that I've already said, please don't ask the similar questions. It's a little frustrating for me. But wish you all luck for this game week. In terms of content, I'll be back with deadline stream tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. in the final hour leading up to the deadline. Be a lot faster paced than this particular stream, and I will try and rattle through the questions. Please keep them short and sweet on that stream tomorrow morning. As it's double game week, two full podcasts, I can confirm from us reviewing the game week next week. We will do Monday and Friday full podcasts. Monday reviewing all the weekend action. Friday we'll review all the action Monday to Thursday, and then prep into 27 and beyond. Tuesday will likely be a people's poll. Wednesday will be Sky Fantasy Football. Thursday will be Clash of the Correspondents, FIA_FPL Addict, and FPL Tacticians back. We'll be previewing West Ham against Leeds in game week 27. Spoiler for you as well, North London Derby, Clash of the Correspondents the week after. If you would like to support Planet FPL content, please support us on Patreon. Be very thankful. We are not going to make you better FPL managers. You'll be supporting us in terms of the content that we're creating. From intermediate tier, there are an additional 5 podcasts every week. Please don't do it now. It's the end of the month. Please wait until Monday. Otherwise, unfortunately, you will be charged twice. However, if you want to join now because you want something for the weekend, by all means, do so. I will refund any new additions we get to Patreon between now and March the 1st. But then you will get charged again on March the 1st. Thanks very much for everything, guys. Good luck for the weekend. And for the benefit of those on the audio, cue music, please, man. Shot.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.